Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
I think the target demographic originally for the satellite was like Africa, right? So we
really?
Wanted to broadcast to like, you know, right, that right. area, the apartheid
right.
area and all that kind of stuff. So I think that was the original demographic. I don't know how widespread the satellite signal is. I'll try and find out more, of course. But, yeah, we're prolific. And yeah. if you're on the Internet, freetalklive.com, you can hear us live. 7 to 10 Eastern time, also on LRN.FM if you happen to you know, be on a web browser and that kind of thing, you can get it over there.
I think we got a caller from Africa once.
Yeah.
We were reporting about something out there. I don't even remember. Yeah. This might have actually been before my time. I might have been listening to the show.
More than once.
Yeah. Yeah, we were reporting, whoever was on the show was reporting on a thing, and then somebody called in, was like, I'm from Africa, I'm from whatever area, you know. Insert area here, I'm from here, and this is happening in my backyard.
Right.
So it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
And that's what's really cool about a call-in radio show, is we can be talking about stuff, and people can call in and say, like, hey,
I know
more about this thing than you do, or, like, I'm here live. So it's pretty cool.
I wish that Kenyan attorney would call.
The one in one, but he's not really an attorney.
He's not really an attorney.
Got a perfect score,
yeah.
perfect hit rate, if you will. So,
never admitted to the bar.
Yeah, but like 126 cases in a row, like no yeah. attorneys even do that, right?
Right.
So, yeah, that's pretty great. Let's see. Captain's log. What's the start date today? It's 10222023. In the studio tonight, it's myself, the authentic Lord Reverend Dr. Captain Kickass Buckshot Esquire, if you will, joining me tonight.
Steve Classic.
And Nikki.
Nikki, Steve, and I are gonna rant here a little bit about midget wrestling.
Oh,
oh, we are?
Wait.
Yeah.
Did you guys go yesterday?
We did, yeah.
It's How was
not,
it?
It was amazing.
Give us a review.
It's not wrestling. It's sports entertainment.
Well, okay. Yeah, it's micro something, micro wrestlers.
Micro wrestling.
They don't use the word midget in their, like, advertisements.
Well, I guess that's ableist or whatever
yeah,
word
it's frowned
you
upon,
use.
I guess. But then, like, when you get there, they're like, yeah, we're the midgets that are performing tonight.
So,
and the MC, there's a guy walking around with a microphone during the whole thing, like, sort of MCing as the action is happening and sort of giving you the plot line of the story of, like, why these people are angry at each other,
That's
you
great.
Know, that kind of stuff.
Is that normally how wrestling is? What is
well,
it? What do you call
it's,
it?
Well, sports, it's sports entertainment.
Sports entertainment.
Yeah, Steve's more experienced at watching like pro wrestling.
I know
I am.
Wasn't Richie Rich as well. He was a WWE guy.
He's
or
a fan. Yes. Yeah. Yep. Indeed. And it's very much like that, except smaller, obviously.
Micro. Right?
Yeah. But then, like, the MC is even like, yeah, these midgets are really taking it to each other. So, like, apparently it's not frowned on so much, at least by them and their events.
So I think it's one of those things where it's not necessarily PC, but the actual people don't care.
Yeah.
That happens a lot with, like, race things.
Seems to be the case.
Yeah, that's usually how it is.
And, like, really, what I want to do, I just want to give these guys some kudos. They put on an entertaining show.
Absolutely.
Right? They're obviously trained in, like, acting and comedy. Right? They're ad-libbing at times.
They were getting heckled.
Yeah, the audience is heckling the crap out of these guys. And they got witty comebacks and, you know, stuff to say back to them and all this kind of thing. Like, they've obviously handled all of this before and they know how to handle it now.
Well, I'm assuming if you go to midget wrestling, you're probably not a boring person. Like, you probably have a sense of humor. You know what I mean? Like,
one would hope.
Yeah.
We did bump into one lady without a sense of humor, but it was because we got sat in our seats. We paid for, you know, ringside, you know, VIP meet and greet. We didn't get any of that. We got the ringside, but, like, it was a very
no meet and greet.
It wasn't like a very organized thing. Like, sometimes you go to a concert and you get the VIP, the meet and greet, and they take you back to, like, the green room where you do the meet and greet and take a photo and, you know, you get that souvenir. They didn't do any of that. It was just like you'd come up and talk to them at the merch table if you wanted to, but basically there was one guy checking to see what's your order number or what's your name on the tickets, and then he would show you to your seats. And, like, he literally, like, I told him, like, yeah, we paid for, like, VIP ringside or whatever, and he's like, okay. Like, he didn't know what to do with that information.
Yeah.
Just walked us over to some seats and was like, here, these are our VIP seats. And they were ringside, but, like, you could tell that they didn't have anything designated for any of this stuff.
Yeah.
He was just making it up as he went along. So, at some point, you know, we got our seats, and they were numbered, and so we got little stickers with our number to, like, you know, okay, these are our seats. We got up, went to the bar, got some drinks. We come back, and there's people in our seats.
Harumph, harumph.
Yeah, and we're like, hey, these are our seats. Look, we hung our coats.
Look
on
at my sticker.
We hung our coats on the back of the chairs, and, like, here's the sticker, and then the number, it matches the corresponding number or whatever. And they got up and left.
Yeah.
And
nothing says somebody's sitting here more than a coat on the back of the seat.
Yeah. Right. And so at some point, this lady comes up and gets in Classic's face. It's like, you're Mr. Liar Man. You're a big, fat liar. Liar. Right? And I'm like, what the heck's going on? And he's like, she's saying that we stole her seats instead of they stole our seats or whatever. And I'm like, well, send her to me if she complains, because I got the tickets. I got the receipt. I can prove that.
I said, talk to my attorney over here.
Yeah, so it was actually...
You're like, sorry, I'm not answering questions today,
answer
ma'am.
Questions. So other than that, everybody was having a great time, right? The show was fantastic. The performers were, like, these are some buff midgets, right? They're muscular. They work out. I was like, I'm pretty sure one of these guys could kick my ass, right? You know, because they're like... They're buff, you know, so we have a great time. The show goes on. Everybody else is having a great time. And it wasn't until we got outside of the venue where this lady comes up and again starts getting in
my
face about, you're Mr. Liar Man, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, hey, come over here. And I'm like, look, I blah, blah, blah. I paid for the tickets, et cetera, and so on. I got the receipt. And she goes, well, I got my receipt too. Right? She'd been drinking.
Did they not give her a different table?
I don't know what happened. It seemed to me like she got up and went into, like, a whole other room with the first confrontation, like, at ringside. So I don't know where they eventually sat. I don't know if they had VIP.
Yeah.
Maybe there was a green room I didn't know about, and she went and sat back in there and hung out with the midgets or something. I have no idea what happened. But, you know, the type of person that went to this event in Claremont, New Hampshire, generally sort of, I don't want to say white trash, but, like, redneck type of people, right? You know, baseball hat, scruffy beard, T-shirt, you know,
I mean,
type of people, right? Smokers,
you know, Western New Hampshire.
Yeah.
Flannel shirts.
There wasn't. Yeah. I mean, it was predominantly white males who were there, right? There were women there and that kind of a thing. And
you would assume that would kind of be who would be, you know, attracted to this sort of event.
Yeah. Right.
You know?
Yeah. And it was held at an American Legion Hall.
Yeah.
And the nice thing about the American Legion Hall is cheap booze.
Yeah.
Right?
That's their thing, right? Yeah.
Compared to a regular bar, man, like, the drinks were cheap. Even I was drinking Jameson. And so, like, you know, but it was, like, half price, right? Compared
for
to
a double.
Somewhere, yeah, for a
for
double.
A double, it was half price.
I'm like, you can't even get a single for that price anywhere in Keene. So, right. Yeah, it was...
They were probably trying to advertise their memberships, because isn't it? It's like the Moose or the
yeah,
Eagle, where you can be a member.
Yeah,
and
it's one of those. Yeah.
Get your cheap beer, $2 beers.
The third person that went with us was already actually a member of that thing, and so he ran some interference with us, with the crying lady of Utterseed or whatever, and, you know, he attempted to smooth it over with her or whatever, because I was getting belligerent, too. You know, she was getting, blah, 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 and I'm all, I'm like flipping her off in her face and
great.
Stuff. Like, what are you going to do,
wow.
lady?
Oh,
you
while
know?
All this is happening, I'm like, I'm going out to the parking lot. I'm not going to hang around here, because you never know. She could just be on something and just snap.
Yeah and it's just, New Hampshire. You never know who's armed and
right,
not. And,
right, I'm
you
just,
know.
I hauled out of there.
Yeah, so it was a minor incident, like, all things considered, but, like, you don't go to an event like this and not have, like, other things happen besides the event.
You did use...
You know?
You did use the word white trash. So in true white trash fashion, Captain fights some lady.
It was very white trashy, in that respect. And it wasn't like a fist fight, right? We weren't going, you know, toe-to-toe or, you know, blows.
Yeah, who won?
It didn't come to blows. It was just a verbal altercation. And then, like, while her and I are outside sort of yelling at each other, there's some guy standing at the door, right, outside. I think he's having a cigarette. And he's like, what? A venue screwed somebody out of their tickets? Say it's not so. Like, all sarcastically. Like, this happens frequently, apparently.
Yeah. Well, while you were arguing with her last night, I was trying to think of the Mark Twain quote about arguing with an idiot. And I have it here. Never argue with an idiot. They'll only bring you down to their level and beat you with their experience.
And that's precisely
exactly
what happened to me.
Exactly.
Yeah. I was actually thinking of that. I was paraphrased, but I was thinking of that quote as we were driving home. Right. Like, never argue with anybody.
No,
that was more to our captain. Yeah. But, Jameson was talking. I had a great
fun,
time.
You know?
I'm on a high.
Right. You're at a wrestling event.
There's some crazy lady calling my friend a liar who's clearly not lying, right, about his situation. And I'm just like, don't call my friend a liar. Crazy lady.
Crazy lady.
So, crazy Claremont lady. There's a middle finger in your direction once again.
That is a very Claremont thing, too. Just the area. For listeners who know the area, they're like, oh, yeah, I know that lady. I know, like, six of those ladies,
right.
And they all live in Claremont.
Yeah. But
she
again,
probably runs membership at the American Legion.
Oh, maybe she does.
I don't know. Well, we don't want
that. That is the thing about New Hampshire. It's such a small state, though, that you're going to run into that person again at some point.
Yeah.
Right? You know, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Right? It's going to happen, and that's just how it is.
The next time we go see midget wrestling.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's at a different venue, though. Because, like, the only like, thing that, and it only happened one time, but the thing I was afraid of was the height clearance. I know this sounds like a thing that shouldn't be a concern at midget wrestling, because the ring is smaller, the people are smaller, right? You know, that kind of a thing. But the top of the ring was maybe a foot away from the ceiling.
Right near those fluorescent lights.
Yeah. Like if they'd have got up on the top rope and, like, dove the wrong way, they could have, like, hit their head on, like, the fluorescent light or whatever.
They couldn't hit that top rope.
No. Well, one of them got up on they kind of had to adjust and crouch down. So we didn't see a lot of high-flying acrobatics. But we did, like, they still did the whole pick people up and slam them down and suplex. Yeah, all the wrestling moves and stuff, you know, they were able to pull it off somehow. And instead of using the top rope, they used the middle rope or whatever.
Yeah.
So they were able to still do it, but I'm sure they were sort of physically limited, no pun intended, because of the height of the ceiling that was there. So, you know. I made a mention, too, during the show, because, you know, they reach under the ring and pull out various devices to beat their opponents with, right?
Yeah.
Folding chairs
The pool cue,
serving tray.
Garbage can,
right? Here comes the aluminum, you know, garbage can, and they're using it for all different stuff. At the end of the show, they auction this thing off.
Really?
Yeah. Because, like,
I made mention of
them, like, man, how many garbage cans do these guys go through? And they have to build that into their expenses, right? So every night they're...
But people paid for
basically
it?
Basically trashing a trash
like
can.
$50. Someone paid
somebody paid $50.
But you can't even use the garbage can because it's all smashed up.
But, yeah, that's the point, though. That's it's a souvenir.
Yeah, you take it home.
This is my midget wrestling folding chair.
Put it next to your 86 Monte Carlo on blocks in your front yard, and be like, "That's I got that at midget wrestling, man. That's right.
Cost
yeah.
me $50.
Yeah, exactly." It was great fun. I recommend it to anyone. These guys were total professionals about the whole
That's
thing.
Great.
Even when they're like yelling at you, like one of the midgets, the wrestlers, they sort of got out of the ring and they sort of sat down in a seat next to me, and the guy pointed at me and says, "Don't you laugh at me?" Right? You know, this kind of thing.
Yeah,
like
the crowd into
face
it.
Or whatever. Yeah, they try to. They did a really good
job.
But
I think the crowd brought themselves into it.
Yeah.
I mean, they were just heckling these guys, but they were coming back with them.
It's as if they had been there before.
Or they know how to treat the hecklers.
We were speculating about, like, oh, who are the plants, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, you figure they got to plant somebody. There was one guy in, like, I don't even know, man, like old 70s striped slacks, but a Hawaiian shirt. Like, totally, like, and I'm
like, there's no way this is a real person.
But no, I'm pretty sure it was.
I think he was, yeah.
Yeah, it turns out.
Regular Claremont guy, I guess.
There was this one lady, she's probably like 45, 50 years old. Before the show, they've got, PA speakers, they're playing rock music, AC/DC, Guns N' Roses, stuff like that.
She's air guitaring
and singing every lyric. She's dancing and carrying
that
on the whole time.
That is probably just a drunk local.
Because I know a few of those ladies. We're like, she's gotta be a plant or whatever.
I have been that lady.
And then we changed our mind as the night went on. We're like, we think she's just a drunk local.
Yeah.
But it was funny, they had the they used baking trays to hit each other over the head. Just little pans.
Yeah, if you've ever worked at a pizza place, it's like the dough tray that you make the dough balls, put it in the refrigerator the night before or whatever.
But these are cookie sheets.
Yeah.
Like from a little oven.
Yes. Yeah. And they make big sound but hurt little, you know what I mean? So
easy bake oven.
Right. No, they used full size sheets.
Okay. Yeah.
Ironically.
They smashed up pretty good though.
So anyway, tonight I want to talk about this story from Zero Hedge. Peakless Mountaineer is generally on top of this stuff. I believe he supplied us with this story today. Is a financial crisis already here?
Yeah.
Wait, is that a question or is that a statement?
It is a question here on this headline, but it's followed with, U.S. banks are closing hundreds of branches and laying off thousands of workers.
Really?
Oh.
This has been a bit of a slow burn. This hasn't just happened, right? And it's not like there's going to be one day, right? They're doing this a little at a time, right? The trickle-down effect. Right.
They can't have a Black Friday event at the banks, like waiting in line for Black Friday to get their money.
Right. And so they're just, a branch at a time, 50 employees at a time, that kind of a thing, near as I can tell. But let's find out. Authored by Tyler Durden. I know that there is, I'm sorry, authored by Michael Snyder, reposted by Tyler Durden. I know that there is a lot going on in the world right now. I just had to write about what is happening to our banks. High interest rates and chaos in the real estate industry are combining to put an enormous amount of pressure on our largest financial institutions. As a result, banks are getting very tight with their money. They are closing down hundreds of branches, and they are laying off thousands of workers. We are in the early stage of the worst financial crisis since 2008-2009, and I fully expect conditions to get even worse in the months ahead. During the first week of October alone, U.S. banks closed 54 local branches just in the first week of October. Major U.S. banks are continuing to close branches across the U.S., leaving an increasing number of Americans without access to basic financial services, unless they have the internet. Like, caveat here is if you're a business, right, and I realize banks are they a business, sort of, they're sort of an arm of the federal government in a way, because they get to print money.
But a lot of businesses are an arm of the federal government.
Okay. But that being said, a majority of stuff that I do with my bank, I don't need a branch for.
Yeah.
Right. I could call a number if I need to talk to somebody. I can log into my thing on their website or the app or whatever, and I could do what I need to do. If there's something I need a person for, I subscribe to a credit union, a couple different ones.
Yeah.
And so, I've got a teller available to me 24/7 by phone, right? So,
yeah.
Are they outsourcing this stuff? Absolutely. Do they have some U.S.-based English-speaking stuff? Absolutely. right? It just depends on how busy they are, you know, who's working at what time, right? Depending on, you know, so if you're making your calls off hours, you're likely to get overseas, whereas if you're calling between 8 and 5, you're likely to get, you know, not overseas, right? So it's just kind of how it is. But most of the stuff I need to do, I can do through the app or through their website.
You really only see elderly folks, like, you know, 75 plus is usually what you'll see. Like, if I have to go into the bank to do something that requires, like, I had to change my last name, right? They need the marriage license, and, you know, I had to go in person.
So the last time I actually had to go into a branch was maybe when I opened my account when I moved. Because I went to the local credit union here and opened an account there. When I bought my used car, we went to the bank to do the money
thing. And even that, usually you can just do that at the dealership.
Yeah.
These days.
Well, it was a private sale.
So
individual used car kind of a thing. And like, you know, well, let's go to the bank and do the money thing. Okay.
So yeah, that sounds like a good place to do it, right?
It's kind of good safety practice because this was like a Craigslist thing. And you know, it makes sense for, you know.
You're doing it with cash or a bank check.
Well, we actually did a transfer because the seller also had an account with a credit union. Credit unions actually work together.
Yeah, you can use all of them,
Yeah, and like most of the time, as long as somebody's with a credit union, they have what's called shared branch banking or something like that.
No ATM fees.
Right, yeah, and so you can just make a transfer as long as you can prove you're you with your ID and your account number and all that stuff. They can prove they're them. The teller will just make the transfer for you there on the spot.
Yeah, you just need the numbers.
So like I didn't have to withdraw cash to do a cash sale, which is weird. Like, it's still considered a cash sale because, you know, there was no financing involved. So it was we agreed on a price.
They just
moved a number from one account into another account, and bam, Bob's your uncle.
Yeah.
Bam, Bob's your uncle.
He was like, where does that phrase come from? Bob's your uncle. And I'm like, well, it's a British phrase.
B-Y-U.
Really.
B-Y-U.
That's where I first heard it was, I think, on... oh, God, I'm trying to remember the name of that British comedy now, Outer Space.
Bob's Your Uncle.
Man.
Outer Limits?
No.
Doctor Who?
No, British comedy.
British comedy?
Yeah, but it's all in
Outer
Space.
Coast of London? Bob's Your Uncle.
Man.
Trying to investigate. Give me a second.
I'm gonna get like some points taken away from my nerd card for not remembering this. They have a different word for cussing too that like you could probably say on the radio, and I can't remember what the word is either.
Crikey.
They have like a robot guy. It'll come to me later when I remember it. I'll let you know. But at any rate, why were we talking about that?
Banks. We're talking about banks,
right?
Credit unions.
Major U.S. banks are continuing to close branches across the U.S., leaving an increasing amount of Americans without access to basic financial services. Bank of America axed 21 branches in the first week of October, according to a bulletin published by the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency. On Friday, Wells Fargo closed 15, while U.S. Bank and Chase reported closing 9 and 3, respectively. In total, some 54 locations had closed or were scheduled to close between October 1 and October 7th. That is just for 1 week. 603-283-6160. More Free Talk Live is coming up.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
U.S. USA News Update. Israeli warplanes struck targets across Gaza last night and into early this morning, as well as two airports in Syria and a mosque in the occupied West Bank allegedly used by militants as a two-week-old war with Hamas threatened to spiral into a broader conflict. Israel has traded fire with Lebanon's Hezbollah militant group on a nearly daily basis since the war began, and tensions are soaring in the Israeli-occupied West Bank, where Israeli forces have battled militants in refugee camps and carried out two airstrikes in recent days. More than 100 people were arrested Friday night in Midtown Manhattan during a demonstration calling for a ceasefire in Gaza.
We have to do what we have to do for justice and for peace.
We're out here, it's pouring rain, we're wet, but they have blood on their hands.
Those arrested were put on buses after blocking traffic outside Senator Kirsten Gillibrand's office. Dave Collins, USA News.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
From a distance, as if he's far, far, far away, away.
It is Free Talk Live. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. Sunday night edition. Nikki, I'm sorry. I just can't get over how kick-ass your Misfits shirt is.
Thank you.
Rarely do I see a long-sleeve Misfits shirt. Like, it's more common to see the regular T-shirts than the long sleeves. So.
It usually is in general for like any band shirt, but yeah. I'm a big long... Big fan of long sleeves because I'm a cold gal.
Well, and it's fall, so, you know, it's getting to be that
and
season.
And, you know, Misfits, it's very, like, Halloween, fall vibes.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Yep.
Usually you get the concert baseball tees. Remember those?
Yeah.
Like the black sleeves, but they're white.
Oh, yeah.
And then for a while, too, like the hockey jerseys were very, like, even if, you know, you're like a band and you have nothing to do with hockey, but you'd have a band logo hockey shirt on your merch table.
You know, coincidentally, those are amazing to wear at concerts because they're very airy. So if you're getting all hot and sweaty, you know, it's very good.
Well, Captain, didn't a friend of yours in a band, they had the flannel shirts?
Yeah, that's true. There's a Pearl Jam tribute band. One of my many friends named Steve is the singer of said band, so he plays the part of Eddie Vedder in that band.
Jeremy
Spokane. Anyway, they probably do have t-shirts, but you could never tell. They have one of these rolling racks with like a bunch of shirts on hangers, and that's their portable merch booth, so to speak. So they set up a table and they've got stickers and all that kind of stuff too. But like this rolling rack is just filled with different flannels. And then on the back of it is either like a silk screen logo, some of the expensive ones are embroidered with their logo. Their band is called Washed in Black. So if you're ever in the Seattle, Washington area, or sometimes they get outside of that area, the greater Pacific Northwest, they'll go all the way into like Idaho and all the way down to California, stuff like that. So if you're in that area, go check out Washed in Black. They kick ass. But yeah, flannels, nothing but flannels, right?
That's pretty funny.
And like already because they, like Pearl Jam was a grunge band, the people who come to see this tribute band of Pearl Jam are already sort of wearing flannels. Yeah. And if they're not, then they buy one. And so it's almost like it's their uniform.
That's so funny.
Yeah, it's totally
one of the best wedding presents I got was a flannel that said F the Feds on the back.
I've seen you wear this, and yes. I always smile whenever I see it because it's very inobtrusive when you look at it until you get behind you and you see
thing.
And I'm like,
because even then it's very like inconspicuous because it has like the woodland, like the tree line, and it's very, you know, it's very rustic.
Yeah.
And then it's just like in nice cursive writing. Yeah. So
does it actually say F or does it say
it says the word. Oh, yeah, okay. It says the word. Yeah,
we can't say F.
Yeah.
You know.
And I was very careful too. I'm like, don't say the real word.
Hey, it is Free Talk Live, and well, it's a call-in show, so let's get to your calls and thoughts. We've got Dave Ridley from RidleyReport.com calling us. Dave, you're on Free Talk Live.
I like the trumpet sound instead of the meows.
Is that like your entrance music?
No, that's the...
I guess it could be.
It'd
be plagiarizing your entrance music.
Meow, 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 meow.
I thought you were just trying to take a hint from the midget wrestlers, who, by the way, also had entrance music.
Yeah.
Like whenever a new match started, they'd be like, and weighing in at, you know, 90 pounds or whatever it is, right? It's so-and-so from somewhere, and then, like, big music and that kind of thing.
That's
it was pretty sweet. Anyway, go ahead, Dave.
So thanks most recently to the efforts of Chris Wade over at penguin.com. I have, been able to continue running the Riddler Report, doing, you know, traveling to bureaucrats and asking them questions. And,
thank you for your service.
I wanted to give you a little bit of, thank you. Yeah. To give you a little bit of information about like what what my latest adventures have been. But you know, when I went to Ian's sentencing, I one of the reasons I was able to go, because it's really difficult for me to travel because I do not own a vehicle and I live in the middle of nowhere. So but I knew that if I went to that, to Ian's sentencing, I could also go to a bunch of state house meetings, and talk to a bunch of bureaucrats and politicians, right?
Mm-hmm.
So instead of actually going into the sentencing, I spent that time while he was being sentenced, I spent that time asking state reps about Ian's case and about their position on the federal government. I got, you know, as with any, whenever I go, that building actually is really, people think of politics as just sort of drab, but it's always interesting when I go in there. There's always something interesting. At least as long as there's some hearings going on. So the first thing that happened is I run into a 19-year-old state rep, right? And I interview her. It's not
19 years old or has been a state rep for 19 years?
She was 19.
A kid.
I didn't even know. Rep. I thought you had to be older than that. No? Just 18?
Well, I think you have to be 18. Yeah. She was elected when she was 18, so now she's starting her first term.
That's pretty great.
I interviewed her about NH Exit and, you know, got her opinion on it. And she said she wasn't sure, you know, wasn't going to give an opinion until she knew more, the idea of this New Hampshire independence legislation that we have coming up.
Sure.
I talked to her about Ian's case a little bit, you know, how she felt about the federal relations with the federal government. She was pretty, she was not very committal. You know, she was kind of, she didn't say anything red meat. She didn't say anything really super friendly. He was just kind of like, I don't know. But you just have to watch it. She was, you know, very professional. And, you know, after I finished interviewing her, she just sat there and listened to me for 10 minutes. Just talking about the case and about my concerns with the federal government. And that's not something I'll expect her to be doing in 20 or 30 years after she's burned out. At this point, she is definitely was very much interested in listening to people, even though, like, I'm not one of her direct constituents either. So that was great.
That's the job of a representative, is to listen to the people you represent and bring those opinions to the statehouse.
Now, I do have to ask, because I know how this goes sometimes. Occasionally a person, at least me, in my experience, in a professional situation, I'll have a conversation with somebody about, like, some tech that I kind of already know about, and but they don't know that I know. And rather than interrupt them talking, I'll just sort of nod and smile while they explain to me something that I already know, or otherwise tune out because I already know what they're about to tell me. So how do you know that this person was listening rather than, you know, hearing?
I mean, I didn't inflict a quiz on her.
Right, but usually there's, like, things that people
do. Yeah, like active listening cues.
Yeah, they'll respond back or say something that you said back to you, but in a different way to, you know, confirm that they have heard you and that kind of stuff. Was this happening, or was it nodding and smiling while you sort of went on a rant?
Well, all I know is that she wasn't making an effort to, I wasn't making an effort to keep her listening to me.
Okay.
It's just that, you know, all I know is there's five other things she could have been doing at that moment, and instead she chose to stand there, at least, and look like she was listening to me, which is better than most politicians.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it's even hard to find a friend to do that, you know what I mean, to listen to you for 10 minutes without either interrupting or...
I'm sorry, what?
Exactly. My friends never listen to me.
Shortly after that, I interviewed another rep with similar questions. You know, what have you done to protect New Hampshire rights from the federal government? And she's like, well, she kind of like said, I don't know that that's my role. I think maybe I'm supposed to collaborate with
them. Wow.
Said, oh, okay. So that sparked some questions. What exactly does that imply, collaborating with the feds? And then I asked her some harder questions, and she fled the scene as fast as she could.
I have to get to a committee hearing in 2 minutes. I got to go.
A lot of state reps don't like hard questions.
And then I was able to pop the Sununu rape camp question on another state rep.
What's the question?
You guys may know this. I call it the Sununu rape camp question. Because the John Sununu, I can't remember the Sununu Youth Center, in New Hampshire, there's this big scandal surrounding all the terrible things that happened.
I've heard about this.
There.
Yes.
Yep.
So, I always want to know, what did you do, you know, to protect the kids from the Sununu rape camp? You know, that's what I asked this state rep. And he just stopped like he'd been hit by a brick, you know, and his answer to my question was, stop filming me.
He's like, oh, you're one of them.
You know, see, think how easy it would have been to say, not enough. You know, I didn't do enough. I'm paying attention to it now. I don't think the state is blameless. I'm, you know, keeping an eye on the situation. If you say something like that, you think anyone's going to be angry at you for saying that? You know, and you don't have to have done anything, right?
And it does kind of look bad. I think that response looks very bad, right? Even if he was like, oh, what are you talking about? I haven't heard of this. Like, can you educate me or something? Just saying, like, stop recording me. That is, like, sounds guilty.
Stop recording.
Yeah. Well, even that is connected to Ian because, you know, what is one of the things Ian's, I guess I called in about the rape camp scandal at this detention center, right? You know. And Ian said, well, I'm hoping you'll be able to get out there with your camera and ask people questions about that. And so while Ian was being thrown away, I was asking someone a question about this. So that feels good.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. That does feel good. Well done. Good job, Ian.
That was the first part of my adventure, but I'll call in some other time and tell you about part two, because I went on a really rampage.
All right. If folks listening want to find you and your work, how do they do so?
RiddleyReport.com.
Awesome.
.com.
Thank you, Dave Ridley. We appreciate you. 603-283-6160 is the phone number if you'd like to join us here on this Sunday night edition of Free Talk Live. Let's go to more of your calls and thoughts. We've got
Butta
calling in. It's Major Payne from Michigan. What's on your mind, Major?
Hey, how you doing, guys? Hey, Nikki. All right, I got, well, I guess I got four quickies for you, and we can talk about this bank.
Four?
As far as that Meow entry, unless Meow Mix is cutting you guys a check, come on, enough's enough.
We'll be the decider.
Yeah, I know. I'm just one voice out of the wilderness.
Although your objection has been noted.
Back, you were talking about the midget wrestling too?
Yep.
Back in the day, they used to sick like six midgets on a full size one.
Oh, that's pretty funny.
That was pretty entertaining.
Yeah,
and
that's
I don't
good.
Think he was so gruff as he'd just pick them up and throw them out of the arena or whatever, but.
It's like midget tossing, good. Right?
Right. So
they
like,
do that too, huh?
Yeah. And that's also a thing, but like, people are like, when I'm telling, you know, just regular people that I bump into, like, you know, you're at the bar, you're telling, like, I'm going to midget wrestling, and you're like, you're going to exploit those poor little people? And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is what they do for a living.
Yeah.
Right? This is their job.
That's like going to a concert and being like, you're really going to exploit those poor musicians?
Right.
They want you. Yeah. That's why they're doing it. They want you to come. It's not like a circus where it's like, animals.
Yeah, these guys are showmen for sure. So
anyway. I've never seen a midget that was slight. They're all like bulked up a little bit, even if they're not, you know, working out and professional wrestlers.
Well, these guys are jacked.
I think they have to, right, to like fit their organs in their body.
Yeah, what's that, Major?
I said you're not going to see a twig boy midget.
Yeah, I've never seen like a thin one,
yeah,
but like at the same
beefy,
time, like these guys were buff. I mean, toned,
jacked,
like
up,
jacked.
Man.
Like if they're not doing roids, they're doing mini roids or something, right? You know, I don't
micro roids.
At one point, the guy was like trying to do push-ups, and the other guy stood on his hands and was doing push-ups.
Yeah, handstand push-ups and stuff. Yeah, I mean. You know, cartwheels and backflips and lions and tigers and bears. Oh my, they're, you know, athletes for, you know, what they are, you know. So there you have it.
Yeah, well, the closer you are to the ground, the easier it is to do, you know, somersaults and cartwheels and whatnot. And
true.
You ain't got to fall the car down in the Iraqi down either. But the other couple ones you guys were talking about, Mark Twain's quote about arguing with a fool.
Yeah.
I got the Webster's Dictionary of Quotes here, and I think I'll probably trust that more than I will that thing you pulled off the internet. Twain said, never argue with a fool. Onlookers may not be able to tell the difference.
Well, that's also another quote. Yeah, that's another quote.
Yeah.
And the one you were reaching for is Where's Bob Your Uncle Come From? I'm pretty sure that was Benny Hill.
That's not the one I was reaching for, but
Bob's your uncle and Fanny's your aunt.
I know that. I know that they did use that at least on some of the British comedies. Benny Hill, Major, you're probably old enough to remember a British sort of a late night sort of show adjacent to Benny Hill called Dave Allen at Large.
That doesn't ring a bell. I might not have had a station and got that back in the day.
No, that's all right. But yeah, it certainly is a British term, and I don't know the etymology of it. But if I have time, I'll look it up.
Yeah, it's kind of a curious quote. Who the hell's Bob? You know, I mean, I've heard jokes about, you know, turning the guy with no arms and no legs and putting him out in the water. What do you call him? Bob.
Right? Yeah. What do you call a guy with no arms and no legs who hangs on a wall?
Art.
Art.
Yep. What do you call his father?
I don't know.
Pop art.
Pop.
Anything else, Major?
Well, as far as this bank debacle and them firing everybody,
yep.
They're planning on getting this government crypto online.
It's not crypto.
Seems to me they're going to have to go rehire all the fools they just fired.
Yeah. What the government's doing is not crypto. It's the CBDC. I just want to be clear to our listeners about that. I know you get it, Major. But like, I don't want to confuse our listeners into thinking that the government is adopting crypto. They're not. They're trying to create a digital currency which
that expires.
That expires, which is different than a cryptocurrency. All right, a cryptocurrency has no one in control of it, whereas this would be controlled exclusively by the government.
I think it was at PBS. I heard him pushing a narrative that if you got crypto, then the government could access your bank accounts, or if you got this government crypto, they couldn't access your bank accounts. They were trying to put a twist on it where it was security based, you know, and we all know that's a bunch of horse feathery.
It certainly is. The British comedy space TV series, I was thinking about Red Dwarf.
Red Dwarf. Yeah, that did not come up in all of my searching.
It's one of the, I mean, it's popular amongst, well, we'll just say the nerd crowd, I guess, cultural nerds, not technical nerds, right? So, like, if you mention stuff like, you know,
Trekkies?
Yeah, Trekkies, Star Trek,
Star Wars people,
Star Wars, Firefly, stuff like that. Red Dwarf frequently comes up as one of those that the nerds.
Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. If you go to like a Comic Con or something, there'll be somebody that used to be on Red Dwarf. There'll be people dressed up as characters from Red Dwarf at any of these Comic Cons and stuff like that. So there you have it. But that's where
it sounds like it'd be a good name for one of those midget wrestlers.
Right. Yeah. Bob's your uncle.
Yeah.
Bob Jericho, right back to Ninja Wrestling.
Major, thank you for the call tonight. We appreciate you. 603-283-6160 if you'd like to join us.
What do you call a guy with no arms and no legs and a pile of leaves?
Russell.
Oh.
What do you call a guy with no arms? Or no, what do you call a girl with one leg longer than the other? Eileen.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. We are spiraling towards perfection.
What do you call a cow? A cow with two legs longer than the other two. Lean beef.
Wow.
And what do you call a cow with no legs?
Ground beef.
Ground beef. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
These are like dad jokes. These
totally dad jokes. Yeah, absolutely. 603-283-6160. So. Where were we with regards to our show prep? I don't remember. Oh, we're talking about
the banks
and how awful they are. Oh, they're shutting down branches and laying people off, a bunch of them just in 1 week. Branches have been closing at a frightening pace for quite some time now, according to the author. And this is what I alluded to before we even started reading this article, that these banks have been on sort of a closing branch and firing people, mission for some time. They're just not doing it all in once so that you don't get frightened.
Right.
Right. They're trying to mitigate. They don't want a bank run. They, you know, all this kind of thing. Right. So I'm not a financial advisor or an attorney, but if you're asking me, if you're asking me what to do with your money, I might suggest you get it out of the banks and into something else.
Yeah, literally anything else.
Gold backs.
Maybe multiple different things.
Gold, silver, copper, property, you know.
A tractor.
Musical instruments, rare art. I mean, anything that's going to hold its value will hold its value more so than the U.S. dollar at this point. So that's just, you know, it's not financial advice, just something I might say if you were to
just
ask
friendly,
me.
Friendly advice.
Friendly advice.
Yeah, friendly.
Just, from the captain.
What I might do
to
in your position.
Your friend, the captain.
Friendly neighborhood captain. Unless you live under a rock, the story continues, I'm sure.
Some people do.
That's true. I'm sure that you have noticed this happening in your own local area. For many Americans, a trip to the bank is no longer just a few minutes away. And the banks are also laying off staggering numbers of workers in 2023. The largest American banks have been quietly laying off workers all year long. And some of the deepest cuts are yet to come. Even as the economy has surprised forecasters with its resilience, I don't think it really has. It's just all manufactured crap. Lenders have cut headcount or announced plans to do so, with the key exception being J.P. Morgan Chase, the biggest and most profitable U.S. bank. Pressured by the impact of higher interest rates on the mortgage business, Wall Street dealmaking, and funding costs, the next five largest U.S. banks have cut a combined 20,000 positions so far this year, according to their own company filings. The banking industry is in trouble, big trouble, and this is happening at a time when economic conditions are steadily deteriorating. In fact, we just learned that the Conference Board's index of the leading economic indicators has now fallen for 18 months in a row.
Well, let's give it one more month.
You guys
see
remember,
what happens.
You guys remember the definition of a recession?
Like, no, there's no such definition.
It has to fall for like, you know, 2 months consecutively.
Two consecutive quarters.
Quarters or so
of negative GDP.
18 months is far more than that.
So right. Is this a depression yet?
You can look at the inverted yield curve, and you can also look at, you know, mortgage rates and you know, treasury. Like, there's so many different ways that you can point different things to the economy.
Yeah. Right.
I always say it's dead. It just hasn't fallen over yet.
Well, that's what this is saying.
Or like, I'm drunk. I haven't had the hangover yet.
We were talking about the Hoovervilles on Friday.
Yes, we were.
So,
and you know, this sort of leads right into that. The Conference Board Leading Economic Index, or LEI, for the United States declined by 0.7% in September 2023 to 104.6, following the decline of 0.5% in August. The LEI is down 3.4% over a 6-month period between March and September, an improvement from its 4.6 contraction over the previous 6 months in September. The LEI for the U.S. fell again in September, marking a year and a half of consecutive monthly decline since April of 2022. So this is sort of an aggregate of all the economic indicators you were talking about,
right.
And you know, sort of somebody's interpreting what they mean, giving it a point score, and so that's how they come to these conclusions. That says, nonetheless, the Conference Board forecasts that this trend will not be sustained for much longer, and a shallow recession is likely in the first half of 2024.
Shallow.
Yeah, because all you bankers are so shallow.
Yeah, you can't dig a 6-foot grave. You can only dig us a 3-foot grave.
Instead of doing right by your customers, all you're doing is disrupting the entire economy. So, yeah, there you have it. Let's see. A wide array. Oh, sorry. During the first 9 months of this year, the number of commercial Chapter 11 bankruptcies was 61% higher than it was during the same period a year ago.
I'm not surprised.
A wide array of U.S. businesses have struggled this year. In the first 9 months of 2023, commercial Chapter 11 bankruptcies have soared 61% year over year to 4,553, according to Epic Bankruptcy, which provides U.S. bankruptcy data. 61%. Let that number sink in for a moment, guys. Yeah, foreclosures are also up 34% compared to the same time in 2022. You do the math. I was told there'd be no math here on Free Talk Live. 603-283-6160. Hour number two is coming up.
It's obvious the unthinkable is happening. With all the recent media distractions, most folks never saw it coming. But a few did. Their guts told them something very wrong was going on. And now the headlines are proving them right. The people in charge keep telling you that everything's fine and to stop noticing. But you know better. Folks are investing in emergency food storage. And you should, too. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, are the ones you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells biomass stoves, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, gravity-powered water filters, heirloom seeds, and survival gear that may come in handy soon. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product fact I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never not once been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.